The COVID-19 vaccine rollout for the Yurrayungi Aboriginal Medical Service is in trouble after it was revealed by their CEO, Brenda Garston, that the clinic was currently delivering only 5 vaccine shots a day. The Yurrayungi Medical Service is the only location providing vaccines for Halls Creek in the Northern Territory, even though the town recorded their first COVID-19 case just a week ago. Andrew Herlinger has the story.
As the federal government continues its struggle to vaccinate the nation, there are growing fears from an Aboriginal medical centre in the Kimberley that they will be unable to convince people to take the COVID-19 vaccine. The concern comes after it was announced by the government that the AstraZeneca vaccine would only be available for Australians over 50, after health advice warned of a potential link between rare blood clots and the vaccine. Yurrayungi Aboriginal Medical Service is the only centre providing the vaccine, and their CEO, Brenda Garston, has declared that citizens in her community were now too scared to take the vaccine.
Up until the announcement of the shift in utilising the AstraZeneca vaccine to only 50-year-olds and upwards, we were averaging around 10 a day. Now we've gone back to roughly about 5 a day.
Yurrayungi Aboriginal Medical Service operates in the town of Halls Creek, which has a population of around 2,000 to 3,000. As a result, one of their main priorities has been to go around and educate people of the importance of taking the vaccine, a challenge which is made even harder by the new health advice.
So because everyone knows that our people are the most vulnerable here in Australia, we are working with our most vulnerable on a day-to-day basis, speaking to them one-on-one, going out on home visits and speaking to them in their own space. Like I said, there's a big shift because of this now confirmed concern of the clotting linked to the AstraZeneca vaccine. Our people are now refusing to have the vaccine.
Following the AstraZeneca shakeup, there has been a bigger importance placed on obtaining the Pfizer vaccine, with Prime Minister Scott Morrison declaring that Australia had secured an extra 20 million doses. One of the challenges, though, with the Pfizer vaccine is that it needs to remain refrigerated for it to remain effective. When asked about the potential of receiving the Pfizer, CEO Brenda Garston has claimed that there is no way that her health service has the ability to administer this vaccine.
That is another issue for us because we don't have the infrastructure to accommodate this new vaccine of the Pfizer. So therefore, again, we need to be resourced. And at the moment, there's still no conversation with us around, you know, providing that extra investment into our organisation to upgrade our infrastructure to be able to accommodate this new vaccine.
CEO Brenda Garston also admitted that she has no knowledge of when the Pfizer will arrive and that her priority is to increase the rollout of the AstraZeneca vaccine.
Well, obviously we do need an alternative. I mean, and we're, you know, everyone follows the news of the day and the advice from the experts, scientific expertise. So right now, they're actually saying that it's only the over 50-year-olds that should be taking the AstraZeneca vaccine, and the under 50-year-olds need to now switch to taking up the Pfizer. Well, of course, we don't have the Pfizer vaccine, and so we do need to do a lot more work around convincing our mob that, you know, any vaccine is safe.
This new challenge to communicate the safety and importance of the COVID vaccine comes amid news that the town of Hall Creek had recorded its first COVID-19 case, which in turn resulted in hospital staff being placed in isolation and the closure of Yurrayungi. Consequently, Brenda Garston believes that the additional government support is needed.
And then certainly, you know, we have been raising the issue to our people around what's happening in Papua New Guinea. And it is a big concern. So, but at the moment, because of our remoteness, it feels like we're kind of in a little bubble. However, we do certainly understand that once the borders open up, that we are going to be put up as high risk of contracting the COVID-19. And that's where we do need to ramp up our work in the community around educating our members the importance of having the vaccine. But again, it's a drain, added layer of another drain on our resources, because at the moment we are not funded to do, you know, to be getting out there doing public health. I know we are well placed to do that because we know how to communicate with our people, but the government needs to understand that they do need to give us more funding so we can employ more people and have more hands and legs on the ground going out and speaking to our people and communicating and giving them an opportunity to debrief how they're feeling and to ask questions in a safer environment so that they can feel that they're very much well informed. Because if they're not feeling that they're being well informed, our people will refuse to take the vaccine.
Brenda Garston is not alone in her fears over the community rejecting the vaccine. Even Kate Clark, the communications manager at Purple House, an Indigenous-owned health centre operating in Alice Springs, is worried.
Look, most of the people who we know who've had the vaccine, either because they're part of our staff who are frontline workers or our patients who've received it because they're in high-risk categories, those who've had it generally feel really confident and feel like it was a good thing for them, and they feel, you know, they feel safer now that they've got that vaccine. But as I said before, certainly we do also have a number of our patients and their families who still feel a high level of anxiety and uncertainty about whether it's safe for them to get the vaccine or not, and obviously that is of concern.
Overall though, Brenda Garston believes that the biggest challenge to the vaccine rollout is distributing it to these remote areas with limited resources. She even gave us an example into how much funding she believes her centre needs.
If I think about FTEs, so we would need, I don't know, off the top of my head, it might seem extravagant, but around 500,000.
Brenda Garston again.
At the moment, clinically, we've got around 5 Aboriginal health workers. We've got 3 nurses divided up from clinical to child health to chronic disease health with the registered nurses. And then we've got 2 GPs. One is a permanent position, the other is a locum. So we're a revolving door with locums because of our remoteness and our difficulty with attracting and retaining professional staff.
That was Brenda Garston, the CEO of Halls Creek Aboriginal Medical Service in the Northern Territory, ending that report by Andrew Herlinger.